been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for joining us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me as always, you might be rapping presents. That's what it kind of sounds like. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man?
Well, rapping presents, Brandon. Merry Christmas to you, sir. And I just opened my gift from you, if you believe it or not.
Did you really? Right there
I
on
did.
Air,
live on the podcast, man. I literally just got home, and I've been out and about all day, and I got this package. I saw your name on it, literally. I wasn't even thinking about it while I was on the show. I literally just opened it up, man. What a treat, man.
Yeah, so let everybody know what it is.
Man, this is amazing, man. Well, what it is, it's like a hologram. I don't know what you call that. It's pretty neat art. It's pretty much, you know how we celebrated Purple Friday at the beginning of the show. I don't know if anybody saw our tweet of the picture, but we got a picture with Poe, a selfie with Poe and the Ravens cheerleaders from Jimmy's Famous Seafood when we were doing the Purple Friday, the Purple Caravan to start the season like they do every year.
Yeah,
and you put the Call Podcast logo. And on the back, you wrote 73 episodes and counting in Pod We Trust. Brandon, thank you very much, man.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, buddy. I'm glad you got it. Hey, way to go, Postal Service. I mailed that yesterday.
they were pretty intense on it. And let's see here. We got a Christmas card from Brandon. Oh, look at that. You got the animals and got the Center Theater, of course, old school. Where we saw the Fury, and that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What a great way to start the show, because you know how this weekend. So what a great week, and obviously it says, Josh, thanks for talking Ravens football with me every week. Here's another great season, and a great season. You know, win or lose, Ravens make the playoffs or not, it's been a great year covering the Ravens in the Call for, what was it, a precedent third year in a row? It's been that long. Yeah, we covered it. Our first year was Super Bowl year, and then we did last year. Now it's been, wow, time flies, man.
Yeah, it does.
Merry Christmas to you, Brandon. Thank you so much. This is going right up on the wall. Actually, I might just put up my desk at work, man. This means a lot to me.
Absolutely, man. Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas to you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for talking with me about the Ravens. And how cool is that, man? You see it there, and you're opening it up on the air. How cool is that?
It is cool. I didn't really have this plan, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't really think about it. Like, I flipped over the package. It's laying here, and then I see Bee Holthouse, and I'm thinking, well, that's probably why I asked for my address, but I didn't really think anything of it. And then you're introducing me, and then I just kind of like pulled it out as you did that. And I was kind of like, it was just perfect timing, man. Meant to be.
It was. So, so there we go. Christmas week. You got to love it. There's magic in the air. But let's talk about something that wasn't magical in any way, that pretty much was a game that had to be devised by the Grinch and Ebenezer Scrooge. The Baltimore Ravens looked like a complete bag of trash. That looked like the fruitcake that you get at work that you don't really want.
Oh,
that's what they look like.
Man.
Yeah,
don't ever eat that fruitcake. No,
don't do that. No. But here they are up against the Houston Texans, against a fourth string quarterback. Things fell apart. This was not the Ravens Sunday. The Ravens, in my opinion, this is going to get a little controversial. I hope I'm not offending anybody out there. The Ravens didn't show up. They didn't prepare. They didn't do anything for this game. It was very evident that these guys were not ready for this opponent, that the coaching staff did not prepare correctly for this opponent and didn't know anything. It didn't look like an NFL team. This looked like a CFL team on Sunday. Nothing was clicking. Nobody was doing their jobs. I don't know if, you know, everybody's, staying up late, wrapping their presents over the weekend. This team sucked on Sunday.
I don't think you can be any more blunt, man. I did not know what I was watching. I've seen some reactions. And again, and we're going to cover this as a whole, so I'm going to talk about the ledge here. I've seen some comments, and obviously the Fairweather fans are coming out that, okay, the team sucks. They're going to go hibernate for a while. So obviously, if we somehow by miracle, Christmas miracle, make the playoffs for some reason unknown, they're going to come back out and say, okay, I support this team. No, you know, if you're trashing Flacco and trashing the offense, then so be it. But here's my point, and I'm going to start the show off with a bang like this. Peyton Manning himself had a bad game last night, Monday Night Football, and didn't help us do any favors as the Cincinnati Bengals did win. Peyton Manning threw 4 picks. So for all those people out there who are like, Flacco sucks, we need to get rid of him, MVP, my you-know-what, and all this stuff. No, because Peyton Manning had an equal, if not worse, game, because at least Joe Flacco threw a couple touchdowns in there with 3 picks, and Peyton Manning had Tatum with 1 more pick, and obviously a pick 6. Flacco didn't throw a pick 6, but he could have. It was virtually that close to the end zone. But again, you know, Peyton Manning himself, whether you throw old age in there, again, you know, calm down, guys. This is nonsense. I hate it when we lose so bad, where the so-called, you know, what Steve Smith dubbed us as lazy couch quarterbacks. And I think that statement was perfectly fit for this because, you know, like he said, and he jabbed at the bad critics coming out. You know how it goes where you have a bad game and it's about coaching and Harbs needs to go. He's worn out his welcome. He got us a championship like Billick and, okay, we need a new – no. I mean, the only thing I would say about this is Harbaugh don't hold a people accountable. I love the guy, and you know how I feel, Brandon, but he doesn't hold people accountable. And I don't know who it was that I saw this tweet from. I wish I'd have saved it because I think it was just in the middle of the game and I'm trying to concentrate because I rarely check my phone. I do tweet a little bit. I read some of the tweets, but my phone just goes crazy during a Ravens game. It's on overload sometimes, man, but with all the tweets I follow. But I forget who said this. So if anybody can find this tweet, please tweet at me or figure this out. But someone said this, in a paraphrasing here, that Brandon, they said the coaching staff doesn't change the cadence. And I've seen that, and we covered this in McGill in the middle of the season. The Ravens, they just let everything happen, and they do the same thing. What is the definition of insanity, man? What is it?
When you do the same thing over and over and over again and expect the same result.
Exactly, and that's what the Ravens offense did and pretty much has been doing. And I don't know if it's, you know, yes, we have Kubiak in there. I don't know if it's Kubiak. I don't know if it starts at the top of Harbaugh. I don't know what it is. But the way J.J. Watt, and before I get on that, J.J. Watt, I have to just bow to the guy, tip a hat to him, you know, salute him. He's a monster. He's a freaking nature. I wish he was on our team. MVP of the league, in my opinion, and he showed it why. I mean, the dude even was bloodied up with a laceration above his lips and the dude is just relentless, man. You know, one of those Steve Smith type players who he fits a Raven profile. Too bad he's not on our team, but he was just wrecking havoc, man. The offensive line had no answers for JJ Watt and the whole defense for that matter. It was pretty much a defensive game. Our defense played great. Not bad, not good. I would say great's a strong word, and I say great because they did keep us in the game all the way up until where they just broke in the fourth quarter and they just couldn't hold him anymore. But their defense gave us a chance. We couldn't hold Watt. And Flacco, I don't know what he was doing, man. Every throw was off point. He was backpedaling. They weren't changing anything. Going back to the changing the cadence, man, they don't change anything. Like, if they're blitzing, well, let's do a dump a screen. Let's you know, do a hot potato pass where you get it and you get it out as quick as you can. And they kind of did in the fourth quarter, if you notice. They threw that little dump over the blitz to Torrey Smith, and he took off for the end zone to get the second touchdown, but too little, too late, man. And there's a lot of things that were just – it was just I was mad. I was really mad the whole three quarters, and the fourth quarter I started laughing. I'm like, what am I watching, man? And complete garbage, trash, filth. I don't care what you call it, but none of that. I mean, there was a comparison to Flacco looked like Kyle Buller-esque out there where he just looked scared and didn't want to throw it down the field. We weren't throwing it down the field, and we did not look sharp at all, bro. And here's the problem. I don't know if their offensive line was good, but here's the thing. We sacked Blake Bortles, a rookie, 8 times at home last week. We didn't even sack Casey Keenum once, and he was a practice squatter less than a week ago. It just was uncalled for, man. There's too many things going wrong in this one, man.
There was a lot of things going wrong, and biggest thing I want to bring up, biggest thing that you just talked about is I want to talk about the fact that Joe Flacco was off so much this game. Everybody's saying bench him, yada, yada, yada. We've been over this every single week. The dude's not going to get benched. The dude is not going to go anywhere. Flacco's our quarterback. He's our quarterback for the next couple years, so just get off that train, everybody. But listen, Joe was not good this week. he's the first person to say it. He was not good. His passes were off, and it was not his week. When he actually did throw good passes, which was rare this past week, the receivers were not catching. They were not catching the balls, and that's a huge miscommunication there. Some of the guys were running the wrong routes. These guys are not doing their homework. They need to sit down and watch tape, and they need to watch film, and they need to do more to prepare for these teams, because these guys aren't doing it. I honestly, this is like showing up to school when you know there's going to be a test and not studying the night before. That's what I feel like I'm watching. I feel like I'm watching a bunch of guys who aren't getting prepared for themselves.
No, and I don't think they were prepared. That's exactly what, and I'm probably glad you brought that up. Nobody looked prepared. I mean, and they were saying it in the pregame, and Suggs made a statement, and you know, they're not going to take us today, blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, if you're all talk, show it. I mean, it's really hard to say because I couldn't pick out the individual performances. I couldn't tell if Suggs was motor running. But speaking of that, Suggs and Durbinville, these guys keep lining up all sides, and it has to stop. And like I've been discussing this week, it comes from coaching, and it's just pretty much atrocious, man. How do you guys line up all sides? Yeah, you're trying to get a jump on the ball. Yeah, we have 45 sacks on the year, and we're still standing there. But what is with that? And not only the sacks, but before Seth couldn't run, we couldn't do anything. Run, pass, do anything. I mean, the bright spot was basically the defense pretty much held them at bay for as long as they could. And Jacoby Jones almost ran one for a touchdown on special teams. That's the only two bright spots I could find.
Yeah, Justin Forsett, obviously – something wasn't working there, but they continually were giving the ball to Justin Forsett. And like you said, talking about insanity, obviously J.J. Watt had it out for Justin Forsett. Obviously, they had this guy's number. So obviously, your running game wasn't going to work this week, but we kept going with Justin Forsett. The dude is talented, not taking anything away from him, but obviously, he was not the answer for this past week. Here's the thing I do want to really bring up, though. You brought up J.J. Watt. The dude is a monster. We talked about it last week, how this guy was going to affect everything. Two things I noticed, and I want your opinion on these, but two things I noticed when going up against J.J. Watt. Number one, I don't think Joe Flacco has confidence in his offensive line to block for him, because I think that's why he was off. He was throwing, you know, over people's heads. He was throwing, you know, in the wrong places, throwing plenty of interceptions. A lot of were not his fault. But I feel as if he knew J.J. Watt was coming. He was getting scared because he knew the offensive line wasn't going to block for him, which leads me to my next point. The offensive line, again, was not prepared for J.J. Watt, and the coach wasn't either, because he had an undrafted free agent rookie blocking J.J. Watt, a guy who is spending his first year in the NFL blocking one-on-one with one of the best defensive players in this league, a guy who could possibly win MVP this season. And how does that make sense? How do you not put two guys on somebody like J.J. Watt? Obviously, J.J. Watt just spent the entire day picking on this kid making the day a living hell for him. They weren't ready for J.J. Watt, which puts blame on the offensive coordinator and also puts blame on the players. I can't put the blame, this rookie all on him, because obviously, like, it was his first time going against a guy like that. This was not a confident team. This was not a confident offensive line. And it's, to me, due to the lack of leadership that the offensive coordinator is showing by letting J.J. Watt just run all over this guy the entire game. It's not like they switched it up and said, all right, you're having a hard time, let's get two guys on him. The entire game, it was one-on-one, which makes zero sense.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I was bringing up earlier. They don't change anything. I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but for the most part, you're right. It's, oh, well, why don't we just double team him? Or why don't we do this? Or why don't we do that? You know the teams are double teaming Suggs. You know they're double teaming Dimmerville. Maybe that's why they didn't get there. I didn't really watch the battle in the trenches. You know, I wasn't there live, so obviously, you know, I don't really watch for that. But I was watching intently to see if the execution was there, and they couldn't execute. They just dug themselves in a hole, and it just got worse. And, I mean, yes, you know, you kind of root our team hard, and I kind of want to get in the playoffs, you know, for, you know, the bragging rights. Oh, we made it. You know, we're in, you know, 6 out of 7 years. We got into the final 12. We're the final 12, even if we ended up one and done, or if we, you know, won one and then got one out. But at this point, I don't even want to get in, as bad as that sounds, because they don't – there's two reasons. After this Sunday's performance, they don't deserve it. They don't look like a team that plays. If this was Bill Belichick's team up in New England, half the team wouldn't even play the next week. Like, you know, Tom Brady included. Like, it's just how it is. I mean, you've seen what happened in New England. Jonas Gray misses practice after having a big game, and the dude don't even play the next week. That's what we need around here. You know, what happened to Harbaugh's doghouse with Brian McKinney? What happened to, okay, you guys aren't performing, we're going to bench you. And what happened to that? Has Harbaugh gotten scared? Is, I don't know, but I'm going to start calling some people out in a minute. But here's a bold statement, man. I almost hope they don't get in. And you know why? Because I sat there and watched as the team imploded at a 10-point fourth quarter lead at home and let the San Diego Chargers win, and they're going to win their way into the playoffs if something doesn't happen this week, which we need them to lose. And they play at 1 o'clock the Kansas City Chiefs, but we're in a good spot here. This is an interesting spot because not only are the Chargers alive, there's one playoff spot left, and the Texans, Ravens, Chiefs, and the Chargers are all alive for that spot. The Chiefs play the Chargers. We play the Browns. Now, the Chiefs, you know, they would have to win as well, and then they need us to lose, and I think they need somebody else to lose. I think it's Texans to lose, and they get in. So if they win and beat San Diego, San Diego's eliminated, obviously. And if we lose and I think Houston loses, I think the Chiefs are in. I think the Chiefs are in by a combination of two or three losses and their win. Obviously, the Chargers win, they're in. Obviously, if we win and they lose, we're in. It's just a bunch, and I think the Texans get in if every other team loses. So it's pretty much a weird scenario. But and then with the AFC North, we lost grips to AFC North because, and I mean, the dream scenario wasn't going to happen. I mean, we weren't going to win a division because both Pittsburgh and Cincinnati won this week. But that sets up an interesting point because here's the thing. If we were to get in, if we were to get in on Sunday, okay, we play the winner of the Sunday night matchup who wins the AFC North. We go to the AFC North winner because we're the sixth seed, and that's just so how it happens. So with that being said, things could change here where, you know, we could be going to Cincinnati or Pittsburgh in week one of the playoffs in the wild card game. So, again, do you really want that? I'd rather see Cincinnati. I'm not going ahead of that far. We got to win this game, you know, first and foremost, and really hope the Chargers lose. But if you remember last year, man, you know how I remember last year we were in the same spot, yet week 17? You know how it feels.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very odd feeling because I remember, I guess it was in 22, or it was the Bengals, and you know, none of the starters were playing in the last week of the game. So it is a weird feeling for the Ravens to be in this position again, given the fact that so many people predicted that the Ravens would win the AFC North. Now, I don't think they imagined such an implosion. But real quick, I do want to go back to a point you made a couple minutes ago about Harbaugh and his doghouse and everything. Do you think that the reason why he's not really punishing players or cutting down on time for players in the game is due to the fact that he's running out of players? I mean, think about this. Rick Wagner, he's on injury reserve, and he is the 18th player for this team to go out on injury reserve this year. Could it be just the sheer fact that he's not benching players, he's not doing anything because he's literally out of options?
That could be a legitimate, I'm going to say excuse. I think excuse is a strong word right now, but it might be a legitimate answer because you're right. Who's going to put in a doghouse? Because we're not pulling practice squads off, especially on a playoff run, especially with this being a playoff game. You know, at home against the Browns, I mean, it's almost at this point, do I even want to predict the win? Shall I even predict the win? Because how bad they were, I almost want to disrespect them and dub the Browns the winner this week and say, hey, you know what? I think the Browns are going to win this game. I mean, obviously, in my opinion, they're not going to listen to that and they don't count. They're not going to put any fire in the team. But, you know, it's almost like they were that bad. It's like when you're mad at your girlfriend or your wife, I guess, when some people, you know, analyze like that. It's, you know, okay, well, you know, it's almost like you let them have, let it happen, let it take its course. And this one's going to sting for a minute. And it's why I said my bold words. I hope they don't make it. So the taste is there. Hey, we let that game slip away at home. I was there to watch it firsthand, sitting in my seat, just sitting there shaking my head, laughing, like, is this really happening right now? Is this a nightmare? And I knew what that game was going to cost us playoffs. And obviously, look, because we're on the outside looking in because of that tiebreaker, obviously, I would love the Chargers to be in that same position. They would have to win, and we would have to lose for them to get in. I'd rather the tables be turned, but we screwed it up. Now we need help. And like I said, mentioned last year, to get back on my point there, you know, just this time last year, think we needed, I think the scenario was we needed the Jets to lose, or I think we're looking at the score. Or it was a Dolphins and Jets game. I think it was either or one of those teams. I think it was the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken. And the Jets won. And it was the same time as our game, because the scoreboard watching, but we let Cincinnati score 17 straight points and we beat us on the road, and we were knocked out of playoffs last year. We could have been 9-7 in the playoffs for six straight years. And then we ended up missing out the playoffs by one game, and we ended up at our worst year at 8-8 under the Harbaugh Flacco era. And again, you know, right now, as it stands, we have 9 wins, so we can't do any worse than 9-7. We can do as good as 10-6. So another winning season yet. But if we go 9-7 2 years in a row, or even 10-6 and miss the playoffs, I think there's going to be some major changes on this team. I think Bisciotti's not going to hold back on that. I think at the offseason, we're going to see some major changes. And right now it's a mess. Even if we get in, you're right, we have 18 players on injured reserve. When does it let up? I don't really know, man. But right now, I thought they were playing their best football. I mean, they started off that way. I mean, the loss to the Chargers was bad, but then they picked it up, and they had a couple good wins in there. And they all lost it in Houston. I thought they were going to carry the momentum. I really thought Houston was going to be a good game. I knew if they didn't contain Watt, they would have been okay, and they didn't, and didn't execute. And pretty much on to the Browns, and obviously we thought Johnny Football was going to be in here. And right now he's not, so, and neither is Brian Hoyer. So the Browns have pretty much, you know, they're eliminated from the contention a few weeks ago. So, again, you know, is it going to be easy to task for us? I don't really know. It's too hard to tell right now, man. I really hope they come out the winning end this week.
Well, like we talked about last week, I brought up the loss to the Steelers a couple weeks ago, or a couple years ago, with their third-string quarterback. We have a guy who CBS made it abundantly clear, because they brought it up many times, that the quarterback for the Texans last week was in a deer stand hunting deer last Sunday, and then he got a call from his agent saying, hey, Houston wants you to come quarterback for him, and the Ravens didn't know how to prepare for this guy, because Houston really was just kind of winging it on Sunday, and that kind of threw the Ravens off. So it worries me what happens with the Ravens and the Browns, because the Ravens don't have good luck against quarterbacks they don't know very well.
But do you chalk it down to being prepared? Because if you play Ravens football, it's almost like you don't have to prepare. Play your game. It don't matter who's on the other side. Obviously, we've taken down Brady. We've taken down Manning before. We've taken down Drew Brees. He's an All-Pros Super Bowl winner. He's got many records. He's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. We've beaten Drew Brees. Drew Brees has never beaten the Ravens. We've handled Drew Brees in his own house on Monday Night Football. We even got a pick six against him. We're not scared. I don't think this team is scared of who's under center. I don't think it comes down to being prepared. I think it's they take it lately. Oh, that's Case Keenum. We don't need to blitz. We don't need to do this. Make them beat him. And, of course, they start the throw with a dangerous pass to Andre Johnson. I knew he was going to be a beast for them this past week. And I said, here we go. Just saw that. I said, this is going to be a long game. I said, this ain't going to be well. Everybody's like, be positive. I was like, nope. I knew exactly how this game was going to go. They're going to throw all over us. We're going to shut down the run. And even that was embarrassing in itself. And I think our streak did get broken. I was so mad I didn't look at the stats this week. So I do apologize for anybody. But correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but I think our 100-yard rushing allower has just been broken at 24 games. I think Aaron did eclipse 100, did he not? I believe he did, because that's the way the game was going. I mean, obviously I was too upset to really keep track of stats, because but the way it was going, I wouldn't even be surprised if we just had our streak broke at week 16 of this year. So that's just how the game was, man. It was well deserved by the Texans. They outplayed us and we got outcoached, and there's pretty much to say. It was a JV performance by hard to even say these words, championship contender, but they were in the mix. I mean, you know, controlling their destiny, they basically had the keys to the Lamborghini, and pretty much to the test drive, and was like, nope, we got the keys taken away from us, and we got backhanded our old beater car, because we need to learn to drive a little bit, man.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to blame just one person or whatever. This was definitely a team loss. No one,
of course it was.
Yeah, no one looked really, really that stellar. I think Torrey Smith, I think he really wants to play, but I think something's going on with his knee. I think there's definitely a bigger problem than they're letting on. I think he's not playing at 100%, maybe not even at 80%, because obviously something's going on there with him. Steve Smith, I'm a big supporter of him. I really like Steve Smith, but he after that week four game, you know, his game has definitely slowed down a bit. I don't know if he's just kind of like not used to the track in the AFC North, but he's definitely having problems later on in the season about making plays and making sure things are done.
Maybe we should add the Panthers game at week 17.
You know, it might have been a little bit easier for us. Yeah,
if you don't know, man. You, at this point, you don't really know. But I mean, I've noticed that I'm kind of like the jury's out. I give him the benefit of doubt because I don't think so. I mean, he had a big performance. If you can't remember back when on Monday Night Football, the week of Thanksgiving, he had that great catch on the sidelines and had a big game. And he's had some games. It's just I don't know if the defenses are playing against him or figuring him out, or obviously because. And here's the thing. Because, you know, Jacoby Jones isn't a receiver. Torrey Smith, there might be something wrong with his knee. You're right. What's up with there? Steve Smith's the only option. There's no Dennis Pitta. What are you going to make Flacco beat you with four-set checkdowns and Owen Daniels? Even our grandparents, man, can cover that. I mean, it is what it is, man. It's kind of very predictable. So with the injuries and with the weapons that we're down with, I can see why Steve Smith has been having a down year since that game because, I mean, who else do you got? There's no other good weapons. Steve Smith's it. And, you know, with Pitta going down and everybody else, it just is what it is, man.
Yeah, so news just broke literally as you were talking right there. The Pro Bowl roster has been released, and the Ravens do have three guys on the Pro Bowl roster right now. Linebacker, inside linebacker, C.J. Mosley made the Pro Bowl.
Look at that. Look at that, man. That's before you can go on, well-deserved. Well-deserved. I'll get my opinions on that. Who are the other two candidates, man?
We also have linebacker Elvis Dumervil.
Awesome.
And guard Marshall Yanda.
Again, man, another mainstay in the offensive line. That's great to see Marshall. I'll start Marshall. It's great to see him. Offensive line has been bad, but you know, and I'm staring at his figurine I have in my room right now, is Jonathan Ogden. We know, Ravens first-time Hall of Famer, first ballot. He was a mainstay on the offensive line, cornerstone on the offense, and you know, maybe we have another one in Marciana, but he proves that hey, we're getting the job done, you know, how bad our line is, but he's keeping number five upright somehow. And, even if Flacco does it, and he did get blasted this past Sunday, but the boy's tough as nails, and we have Yanda on line to thank for that a little bit. And how about Doom? Doom is having a great year again. He set a Ravens single-season franchise record, and obviously he has one game. If he can get six sacks somehow in this game coming up on Sunday himself, he would have the NFL record. I don't know if that could happen, but hey, anything is possible, right? But Dumervil's having a great year. He's a marvelous year, man. And I really commend Doom. And how about the rookie, CJ Mosley? I heard all the rumblings and grumblings when we didn't go offense in the first round. And what's Ozzie doing? Yeah, enough said. Ozzie sitting back in his chair laughing at his cross in his arms going, really? Because number 17 pick, C.J. Mosley. Wow. What's more to be said, man? Pro Bowl, he could be rookie of the year, defensive rookie. Yeah, you can keep the accolades on, but Pro Bowl in the first year, and this guy's been a beast all year. I've said it. He's the truth. He might be one of my next jersey purchases. I love the guy. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much going to try to go to some of his signings if he's around. Well, they're cheap now because as he gets up there and it's famed, they're going to go up, and you know how that goes.
Yeah,
you know, with the business. So I'm definitely going to try to get a couple my hands on a couple of those prints because C.J. Mosley might be one of another futures, man. Who knows? Maybe we'll be unveiling his busting cant in a few years. I know it's his rookie year, and maybe I could slow down. But right now, man, sky's the limit for this kid. Great potential, and what a great find. And commend the Ravens for doing a great job of drafting the kid. I love it.
Absolutely, and this is the first time the Ravens have ever had a rookie go to the Pro Bowl during his rookie season. And the Ravens also have first alternates. They have five alternates in case someone gets injured or if another team, a player makes a Super Bowl. Justin Forsett, Terrell Suggs, Sam Cook, Jacoby Jones, and Kyle Juszczyk. All guys that could be alternates. They could play in the Pro Bowl if somebody were to get hurt or go to the Super Bowl. So great for those guys. Congratulations to all of them. Yeah, C.J. Mosley. Absolutely superb season. One of the only, you know, bright spots of this season so far for the Ravens. Definitely well deserved. And I'm thinking he's going to be a Raven for a very long time. So, congrats to all those guys. Doom, Mosley, Yanda. You guys got a lot of work to do, but hey, this is still pretty good news. Good for you guys. So, yeah, let's get back to talking about this game. You kind of gave us the scenario already, but pretty much this Sunday up against the Browns. This is win or go home. Or it could also mean win, be happy for a little bit, and then go home, and you're still going to be not making the postseason because of another team. You kind of lost your, any kind of hold under your own destiny. So I really don't know what else we can say besides that. There's nothing you really can look for. Maybe just saying what I've been saying this episode, you guys got to, celebrate Christmas, enjoy it with your families, but you gotta hunker down. You gotta do your homework. You got to watch film. You need to prepare for this team, prepare for everything they're going to throw at you, because no matter what, you got to have, if you want to make the postseason anyway, it's got to come with a win this Sunday.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, this is basically a playoff game. We're gonna go home basically because obviously if we don't do our part and the Chiefs don't help us out, we're gonna be another all season 2 years in a row. We haven't had that since the Kabul era, so we definitely don't want that to happen since the 2004-05 season. So, back in 2004-2005 where we missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. Because obviously we went 2003 and 2006. So, again, I'm really hopeful for this game. With all my heart, man, I really hope we can pull it out. Right now, how it is, obviously, I give them the benefit of doubt. They're at home. Obviously, we've seen some of their home performances. We've had a couple losses here or there. I really hope the Ravens pull out on this. I think they want to get it done. My heart's going to pull me out in this one. I'm going to pick the Ravens out of desperation, being at home and being in front of the home crowd against the Browns. I think it's just being because as a home. If it was away, I would have broke the Browns in a heartbeat. I'm going to say the Ravens by 3 in this one. I'm going to give them 3 points on the win. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout at all. I'm going to say 20 of the 17 Ravens in this one and pretty much leave it at that, and let's hope the Chiefs can pull it out. But we'll see what happens, man.
I want to see the Ravens continue on. I don't want this to be the last week of football that we talk next week. So I want to see the Ravens come out with a win. I think the home crowd is definitely going to be a part of it, especially with it being Christmas coming up and the holidays. I think there's going to be a lot of first timers coming to games as well. Hopefully, a lot of people are getting Ravens tickets as gifts. So hopefully, they're extra loud, being not used to that kind of environment. But the Ravens definitely had some trouble against the Browns earlier this season. They still were able to come out with a win. I want to see them win. I want to see them work hard. But really, we can hope all we want. But again, it comes down to them being prepared. Like, I'm going to keep harping on that this week. They didn't prepare for the last 2 weeks. They need to prepare for this one. This is you guys got the right tools, all right? You got Joe, you got Torrey, you got Steve, you got Marlon, you got Owen Daniels, you got Doom, you got Mosley, you got Suggs, you got Tucker, you got Jacoby Jones. You got a lot of great players here. This should be a Super Bowl team, given just how much talent is on this team. But I think it's just a lack of focus. I hope Steve Smith doesn't come yelling at me for saying that or whatever. I know I'm not a football player. But you got to focus. You need to be prepared, and you need to be ready for this team because they're preparing for you. Look, they're desperate right now. They don't really have a quarterback, so they wanna go out there and prove something that they can beat anybody no matter who's playing. So
I said that on Sunday, Brandon, and you bring up a good point. You're right. They have too much talent to be that bad. I can understand the other injuries. I can understand if they hadn't. But Joe Flacco, he's proven himself. Super Bowl. MVP, the dude's a winner. Obviously, he's gonna have a bad game. Peyton Manning had a bad game last night, so it goes without saying. People can have bad games. All pros can have bad games. Aaron Rodgers had a bad game. They lost to the stinking the Buffalo Bills. What do you think? Aaron Rodgers sucks? No, heck no. You're not gonna go there and say that. People are allowed to have bad games. These guys ain't high and mighty, and they're not invincible. Dan Marino never even won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco has. You're saying Dan Marino sucks? I don't think so. So, again, each is their own. Each game's their own story. Obviously, they're going to have a bad game. How many times – we can raise our hands. If you can't raise your hand, I love to work where you work or do what you do. But who can raise your hand and say they've never had a bad day at work? That's baloney, and that's BS, because we've all had bad days at work. We've had our good days mixed with the bad, and that's what makes it. And I know Harbaugh was kind of using the scapegoat, the whole, this brings a stronger adversity. I'm not even going to go there. We moved on because obviously, he loves where we're at because our back's against the wall. And he was using that. Let's see if he pulls it off and motivates the team and wills them to victory. I really hope it's motivation enough. But if a must-win is now, obviously, if they string 5 in a row, they're champs. It's a long shot at this point. But, hey, anything's possible. And if they play the game and somehow the the Kansas City Chiefs can give us an early or a late Christmas present, for that matter, after Christmas this week. And then we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll be gifted with a playoff game come next week, whether it's in Pittsburgh or whether it's in Cincinnati. And man, if it's Pittsburgh number three or Cincinnati number three, it's going to be a war. And you know how it goes with Pittsburgh. It's going to be amped up for that game. So at this point, not to look ahead, but I would love to get Pittsburgh a third time, man. I would love to beat them in the playoffs and stick it to them and somehow get in. And the Chiefs give us redemption and we win. And then we go to Pittsburgh and then somehow win that. We're in the round eight again. You never know, man. Possibility if they fuels the fire and they get Pittsburgh. I'm telling you what, because the Ravens, if you think about that, they get the playoffs. There's some optimism because they play a familiar foe. And hope maybe they'll get in and get redemption and get that spark and say, hey, you know what? You know, it might not be the Ray Lewis last ride, I'm retiring kind of hump deal where they get them over the hump. But it would be that much more special if they knew that they're going to play a divisional opponent. Okay, hey, they are our division champs. Let's go in their house and knock them out of playoffs. Next thing you know, they're in a division round playoffs. I mean, this thing could be attainable. Just got to get it back, man. I mean, a bad game, put it behind them, get out and play Raven football, and let's go, man. Last home game of the year. Obviously, it is because they'll be on the road in the playoffs if they get in. So let's tailgate loud and proud. Let's get there early, and let's root them hard, man. I'm going to be going hard on Sunday morning, man. I'm going to wake up extra early. I'm going to soak it all in because here's the thing, man. These moments don't come often. You know, we do what we do for a reason. There's eight home games. We tailgate. We have a good time. I love getting up on Sunday morning, doing my workout, my routine. I get my playlist. I just get in the zone. It's game day, man. And this Sunday, it could be the last one of the year, if not, you know, one of the very few in between. It is the last home game, so let's root them hard, man. Let's leave it all out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Leave everything out there. You know what I want to do? I want to take down the Christmas lights after Christmas, and I want to put up some purple lights outside my house again. I didn't get to do that last year. They're still in a box collecting dust. Let me bring those lights back out. I want to decorate my house all decked out in purple in January. That's what I want.
Yeah, that was fun, man. And like I said to my coworkers last week, I said, you know, second to last Purple Friday. Hopefully it's not the last one. I love when it's Purple Fridays in January. It's just that much more festive and that excitement of playoff football. And I really love to see playoff football and the Ravens for at least one more week, if not two. I don't want to be one and done in the playoffs. I want to at least make some noise and knock out whether it be one of our divisional foes, whoever it may be. But again, you know how it goes Sunday Night Football. We'll know what that is. So if we get in by 4 o'clock and we're celebrating a playoff berth, I cannot wait to sit on my couch and wait after that game and come home for Sunday football and watch an AFC North divisional title and see who our opponent is. Because I think it's 99% confirmed. That's what I've heard, that if the Ravens do get in, they end up playing the AFC North. I know I've been saying it all show. I heard that somewhere. I have to check my sources. But I think scrolling down through the playoff scenarios, I think that is because Cincinnati is locked in at the third seed with their winning percentage because they had one less game. So I think it comes down to even if the Colts – I think the Ravens, because the Ravens would play the three seed, and I think that's AFC North winner. So the 6-3 seed would play. So correct me if I'm wrong, man, but I'm really 99% sure it's the AFC North winner.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. Let me see if I can find it that
we can go to Indy.
Yeah, you could go to Indy.
Either way, you know, we know the three teams are going to be playing. It's going to be Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, or Indy. And obviously, we played all three this year. I was there in Indy. I pretty much have been. I pretty much watched the team in all three games. I've watched the Cincinnati loss. I was there for Pittsburgh win, and I was there for a loss there in Indy. And they played all games well. They were within every game, and obviously they split with Pittsburgh. So with apart from the Pittsburgh split, you know, they could have had the Bengals at home in the season opener. I went to Indy. They should have had that game. That was a shoulda, woulda, coulda game. They had executed one or two plays. You know, they'd execute against the Chargers. We wouldn't have this conversation. So, again, execute. Again, you know, quite wrong, but the scenarios are obviously – now, to cover it once and for all, Ravens got to win first and foremost. The Chiefs and the Chargers play it also at 1 o'clock, so we'll be peeking at the scoreboard and seeing if the Chiefs can outlast the Chargers on Sunday. And obviously the Chargers have to win to help their causes, and hopefully we lose. So hopefully it won't be scoreboard watching and no one tanks a game here or there. But, you know, we got a scoreboard watch, and if it's a great, great time and if it's a win and it's a playoff berth, and we'll all know when the dust is settling on Sunday night.
All right, here it is. If the Ravens end up making the playoffs, this is from RussellStreetReport.com, by the way, they would probably face the winner of the division-deciding primetime matchup between the Steelers and the Bengals. The only scenario where the Ravens could make the playoffs and not face the Steelers or the Bengals would require a win by the Bengals and a loss or tie by the Broncos, or a tie by the Bengals and a loss by the Broncos. If either of those things, two things happen, the Ravens would travel to Denver.
Oh, my God. Really?
So that was posted by Tyler Lombardi on RussellStreetReport.com today. So there,
who would get the second seed then? I'm a little confused there because I know the Patriots got the number one overall, but how would that be the Broncos? Because wouldn't they solidify a first-round bye, or would the Bengals do, because they would have a better winning percentage? That's interesting.
Yeah.
So did the Bengals jump to the two seed?
I guess so. This is what RussellStreetReport.com is posting. So
the Broncos, even though they did lose, they're still 11. They're 11-4. That was the fourth loss. So obviously, they win, they're 12-4. If they lose, they're 11-5. But here's the thing: that might be true, because if the Bengals win, they'll be 11-4. If you do the winning percentage and Denver loses, they're 11-5. That would mean, yep, that would mean that Cincinnati is automatically in the divisional round with a home. Oh my gosh, man, that's crazy. And we all have to play Peyton Manning. I wouldn't mind that right now to not have to cover that scenario. But the way they're playing right now, I mean, it sucks. But the way they're playing, they're not playing their best football. So I wouldn't mind that matchup right now. But it would suck going to Denver. That'd be exciting, and playing Peyton Manning again 2 out of the last 3 years in the playoffs, and hopefully go there and knock them out. That would be fun. But again, let's see what happens on Sunday. First and foremost, let's just get the win, and hopefully the Chiefs lose, and let's take care of itself.
Yeah, so
it's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hate talking about this, and I knew they were going to do this, Brandon. It is exhausting, man.
Yeah, so did we miss anything in this show? Did we miss anything during this Christmas week?
In the spirit of Adderall, not a chance, sir.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap up the show, but before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Ravens fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, if you want to get ready for the Winter Classic this year, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Myself and Coach Dan Hayden, we discuss the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays weekly, going over games, stats, and more. So check it out, The Call and What the Puck, both available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Everybody, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I about The Call, about the Ravens, about the NFL, about football in general, all you got to do is tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52. And while we were on break, I wanted to there's two things we need to bring up, man. First off is you mentioned pre-show. How about the song that's been going around, the Christmas song?
That's right. The Ravens put out a little.
Why don't we do it at the end? Why don't we outro that?
All right.
I like that for the Christmas spirit. And if those who don't know what we're talking about, you'll get a special treat if you do. Enjoy it again. I've been listening to it before. Justin Tucker's been doing his thing. And we know how last year went with the five golden rings. And that was just a treat with the Ravens doing their 12 Days of Christmas. So enjoy it. It's kind of along the lines of that. It's a great piece, and before I get, I wanted to mention that, but also, Santa Claus brought me an early, not only your gift, which I greatly appreciate at the bottom of my heart, but another one I wanted to get you involved with, and I tweeted pictures, I don't know if you saw this, Brandon, but the day after the season, whether we're in the playoffs or not, I got a early Christmas gift. I got a Terrell Suggs signing autograph ticket. He's doing a signing this year, but guess what I'm getting signed?
What's that?
I have a picture on the wall, okay? You know how he came out in the infamous gladiator helmet and the Thursday night game against the Steelers?
Right, yeah, yeah.
I have the picture on the wall. But I took a step further, not getting the picture signed, but actually it came in this week. I actually ordered a replica full-size helmet of Maximus's gladiator helmet. I'm getting him to sign the full-size helmet. How sick is that?
Oh, that's cool, man. I bet you
he's going to love it.
I bet you he flips over that.
Oh, he might. Hopefully no one's in line with it. But I literally ordered it on eBay, and I'm holding it right now. And I'll tweet another picture. I sent it out. But, dude, I wish you could see this piece. I might show it to you one day. I can't wait. The thing is made of 18-gauge steel. The spikes are sharp. And it's well done. It's a nice piece. And I'm kind of bummed because I wanted to kind of sport it during a game and wear Suggs' jersey and then have him sign it the following day. But being that it's spiky and all that, I think the NFL officials might not let me wear it at the stadium because they could be dubbed that as a weapon. I'm like, really? Come on, man. But you use your car keys as a weapon. I mean, but it is sharp. It's 18. It's got, I don't know how many spikes on it, but it's steel spikes on the helmet, so it's pretty legit. It's pretty heavy. I was very pleased with it. I know pictures don't do it justice sometimes online, but when I pulled it out of the box and I wrapped it, man, I was tickled to death, and I really can't wait to have a signature on that thing. And I really think that Suggs is going to like this piece, you know, to close out the year, whether we're going to the playoffs or whether it's the last game of the year. I really can't wait to, you know, meet Suggs again and really enjoy that moment. I think he'll really love it.
Oh man, I can't wait to see it. That's awesome. What a unique thing to have him sign. Very cool stuff.
Exactly, man. I always think outside the box on these things. Everybody gets the helmets done and footballs, and I have so many pictures I could count them. Man, it's amazing. So I figured, and I already have it's unsigned, and I'm like, you know what, the helmet would look great under the picture with a case. And I have to, and again, knowing Suggs, you're right, man. He's gonna flip out, and then hopefully I'm the only one in line with it. And I didn't really tweet this out. I mean, no one that I know probably would know and go to the signing and order one, but being that it's so close. But if they did, hey, he's going to have another helmet signed, but hopefully no one's – I really hope I'm the only one in line with this helmet, believe it or not. I really am.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. I just got to let us know. Let us know on the show what he says about it. That would be really cool.
Oh, I will. I'm hoping to at least get it a nice selfie with him or something with it, holding it up, and – I really hope he's nice enough to let me do that, and I think he'll really appreciate that.
Very cool, man. So, yeah, continue the conversation with Josh or I on Twitter. Also, go to BrandoCash.com. Get more information about the call and all the other podcasts we do presented by Brando Cash Entertainment. You can also go to Facebook, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast, as well as Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like both pages over there. Whenever a new show drops, you will be the first to know. Of course, you can download us. You can stream us. You can listen to us. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. You can also go to thecall.brandocash.com if you want to listen to old shows, maybe like the Super Bowl show or something like that, to get yourself ready and in the mood for the Ravens season, this season deciding game up against the Browns. So that is pretty much it for this week for the call. One more, and you know what, all I want for Christmas is another Ravens win, and I want this season to continue on. So Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. All our listeners, I really appreciate what you've done in the last 2 or 3 years, growing us and listening to us every week. And I want to give a shout out to some of our fellow followers and listeners who post on the show. And I posted back. I know the guy's name is Josh. I want to give a shout out to Josh in L.A. I hope he lives in L.A. It's where he posted from, I think, on the West Coast. Told him I would give a shout out, and I appreciate all they do over there, spreading the good news about Ravens football on the call. I'm rooting hard. Ravens Nation, coast to coast, everywhere, all 50 states, we cover it, and even globally. We welcome that because Ravens Nation has no boundaries, so we appreciate that. Merry Christmas to all. I really hope you all enjoy your great Christmas with your families. Hope Santa Claus was great to everybody, and those less fortunate of us that, you know, have a blessed Christmas. I know, you know, gift giving is not what it's all about. I know, you know, being the Ravens, you know, hope they give us the gift of the playoffs. Know it always gets lost in there. It's just a game, but we love our Ravens, man. It's our life. It's what we do. And I really can't wait to wake up and get fired up and fire the grills and get down to the stadium and really root us hard for our home finale of 2014. Close this year out. Maybe with a win. Maybe it'll get some playoffs. Maybe it won't. The Chiefs will dictate that. Obviously, we lost the control. And we know it's we covered it. It's sad. We know, ladies and gentlemen, we have some work to do. We need to close this year out with a win. 9-7 is the goal. Or 10-6 is the goal. She said we already have our ninth win. Get a little carried away sometimes with the records. I know with these losses and wins piling up, man. It's been a long year. It's been exhausting. It's been fun. I really can't wait to, let's hope that we're not closing the year out next week with a year in review. Hopefully it's a preview of week one of the playoffs. How's that sound, ladies and gentlemen? I can't wait to get after it. So let's root hard, M&T Bank Stadium against these Browns or the Cleveland Clowns, we you always call them. I smell brownies in the air, so let's cook them right. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high with a win on Sunday.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. But since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've bought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.